Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, this is such a familiar portion of Scripture. Some have heard it since their childhood. And yet, Lord, there's so much here that we need to learn, because indeed we have giants that come into our lives. And often we don't know how to respond to them. And often we respond wrong, like Saul and the others. So teach us today, Lord. Open up our hearts and minds to receive what you would have for us, that we will be better off for having been here, and that we'll have a new understanding, a new respect for David. Help us, Lord. Be our teacher and our guide, and we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the man after God's own heart is the one who is out and out for Jesus. And he puts him and his honor and his glory before all other considerations, even death. And I thought about that. I thought, well, we can glibly say I put God first in my life, but then when it comes down to death, that would be a different story, wouldn't it? Well, last week we saw David becoming anointed, and his brothers didn't quite understand what that was all about, but Samuel and David certainly did. And then you'd think, well, he'd set off for the King's School, right? Actually, I think there's a King's School in San Jose. Anyway, but they didn't go to King's School, and how they learned to be king is an interesting situation. No, David went back to his sheep, his measly few sheep, and left his future for God to work out. And I thought, well, that would be a good lesson. We just rest in God more. So, what was really going on? Now, the Philistines had gathered together. They pulled their armies together, and they were calling this the battle at Soko, or Shoko. And I see it as the Valley of Elah. So there must have been an area, Shoko, and then this valley within it called Elah. So anyway, they're gathered there to have a battle. And it's, why did they do that? Well, maybe because they had heard Samuel had given up on Saul. Maybe they heard that Saul had an evil spirit. This is the time to go attack. Well, remember, the Spirit of the Lord wasn't with Saul anymore. He was really a sorry figure. And isn't that true of many Christians? They become sorry figures when they don't rely on the Lord anymore. Now, they had a champion with them. And I measured this archway up here. That's how tall good old Goliath was. So that's really tall, 9 feet, 9 inches. If he could move at all, they'd really like him on the basketball team. Unfortunately, people that tall usually don't move very well. They're not very agile. So, and what did he do? He'd come out every morning and every early evening for a month and 10 days, 40 days. Now, wouldn't you, as a soldier, get pretty tired of that? You'd say, I wish somebody would take him on. Why doesn't somebody take him on, looking, you know, this way? Then he'd come out and he'd shout in verse 8, 17, 8. I'll be reading a lot of scriptures if you want to stay with it. He said, then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Oh, I ask you, how pathetic. But you have to remember, Goliath was covered in armor, bronze armor. So when the sun hit him, he just glistened. And so he even looked bigger than going up to that. He's really tall. Going up to that rafter, he's just huge. And then he glistened in the sunlight. He was a human tank. Of course, they had never seen a tank, so they wouldn't have known. But the Israelites were greatly afraid, and so let's take a look at those Israelites. There was Saul. And remember last week why they chose him. He was tall, dark, and handsome. Not much of a leader, however. But he was the tallest, so you'd think he'd go out. Then he had his son Jonathan. He had just killed 20 Philistines, I guess, within the month. And then there was Abner, Saul's captain of his army, a valiant man, but no go. None of these heroes went. But they learned, if God isn't in it, it makes cowards of us all. How true. But we got to remember, he uses the weak and foolish things that God might be honored. And that's those verses in 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. What an example of God is in this. And the world to put to shame the wise, but God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So, if you get asked to teach a Sunday school class, or asked to do some kind of work for the Lord, and you say, oh, I can't do it, I'm too weak, I don't have any, blah, 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 blah. But the deal is, that's just the type of person God wants to use, and we should rejoice over that. But we need to ask ourselves today, what is your Goliath? Oh, your Goliath doesn't carry a sword or a shield. I thought, well, if he showed up with a shield and a sword, I might know what was going on. But he doesn't show up that way, does he? He brandishes about a blade of unemployment or abandonment or sexual abuse or depression. Your giant is not out in the valley of Elah, but he comes at you in your office, your bedroom, your classroom, your doctor's office. Then there's the bills you can't pay, the grades you can't make, the family you can't please, or the booze you can't resist, or the porn you can't refuse, a past you can't shake, can't look at the future, you can't even think about the future. Yeah, we all know about those shouts that Goliath yells at us. And this Goliath, he would threaten in the morning, and he would threaten in the afternoon, and he strutted before Israel. You can just see him, because he's all glittery gold-looking, and he's huge. But your giant does the same thing. The first thoughts you have in the morning, those are the first thoughts that you think about. And the last thoughts, as you turn off the light, and he dominates you until your joy is all drained out. And not only that, but the doubts flood in. Well, it's interesting that David shows up discussing God. I just love this character. He's talking about God, but nobody else is. That's the interesting thing, and you can go right through chapter 17 and look for somebody else, like Saul, that should be talking about God, but he can't do it. So I'm just going to read verses 20 through 47 because I think they say so much. Remember, his father has told him to go to the battle and bring food. That's how they took care of their soldiers in those days. And it seems like a very sensible way to do it. And if they had extra, of course, they would send it. I was wondering where the other five brothers were, too, at this time. Of course, that would ruin the whole story if one of the other brothers went. But I'm sure Jesse felt that he could trust David, so he sent him on out. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper. Very important to, I have that underlined in my Bible. And took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight, shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel. Then they saw the man, and they fled from him, and were dreadfully afraid. This is the armies of God, I want you to remember. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be to the man who kills him, and the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Now, wouldn't you like that? Especially, I hear they're really going to go up in January. I would sure like to have that. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So David goes right back to the fact that he's not circumcised, and that is part of the covenant. And they needed to remind themselves that they were part of the covenant people. Well, the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why do you come down here? Can't you just see him with his hands on his hip? And with whom have you left those few measly sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle." And right there, see, I would have laughed because there's no battle going on. And I don't know why David doesn't come back and say, "How long have you been out here?" Like, no, he doesn't. He wouldn't be a wise guy like me. So, and David said, "What have I done now?" Well, see, he's used to being tormented. So I would have said, "Well, at least our father had sent us here for food for you." But he doesn't. When he turned from him to another and said the same thing, and the people answered as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep," this is his resume now, "your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose again against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, go. Sure, you can take care of him. Go, and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed... This is great. Who's the biggest guy in Israel? Saul. So who's he clothing? David, with his armor. And he put on a bronze helmet on his head. And so you can just see him standing there with his stuff all hanging all over him. But David was very kind. He said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking, however. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? That's how he looked at David. He was only a stick. Probably looked kind of like one, too. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give the flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give you the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is what? A God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. So everybody's looking at Goliath. There's the biggest problem. And that's the biggest problem for us. Because when that Goliath comes into our life, we can't get that out of our focus. It just is constantly there. But David isn't. He's looking at God who controls these situations. And that's what you and I have to learn to do, is to look to God who controls the situation. Well, it's interesting. I underlined this too in verse 48. David ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. When was the last time you ran towards one of your problems? Yeah, we want to hide, don't we? We want to say, oh, nothing's bothering me. I'm just in bed all the time. No problem. But I wondered where the brothers were at this point. I think they're covering their eyes. I think they're dying of embarrassment. What's our little brother doing out there going after the big Philistine? And Saul, who's encouraging David, holds his breath as David races towards certain death. Do you think Goliath laughed at this point? I do. But because he calls David a stick. But David seizes the moment. He spots the target. And the sling with a flying rock is the only sound in the valley at that moment. You can almost hear it. And the stone flies through the air and hits Goliath between the eyes. And he crumples to the ground quite dead. Now, right here, you must know, who is it? You have to ask, I should have had this in the lesson. You have to ask, who killed Goliath? You know? We've always heard it was David. I don't think so. I believe it was God. And he just put that power right behind that rock. Now I want to know where his brothers are. As David kills him and runs and gets Goliath's sword out of its sheath and goes and cuts his head off. It would be quite a thing. If God has recorded all these things and we can see them when we die and go to heaven, this is what I'm putting in for. I want to see the brothers with their mouths hanging open and their eyeballs falling out. What did he just do? So, but we never hear from him again. That's how your only testimony is that you put your brother down when he came out to battle. How would you like to have that attached to your name for the rest of eternity? That would be very sad indeed. But, well, I have to ask you, when was the last time you went after your problem with a rock? And I like to think of, you have to remember who the rock was, that he is the Lord Jesus. He's our rock. And have you ever gone forward in challenging that giant? No, we tend to retreat, I think, too fast. Or we drink a little bit more wine than we should, or take a few pain pills too many, or when we find that Goliath coming again. The Lord tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5, and this was such a wonderful verse for me in my life that I just want you guys to get it too. 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about our spiritual warfare. And you know, if you've got thoughts in your mind all the time that are tearing you down and just are negative, and things from your past that keeps bothering you, these are the verses that you need to have in 2 Corinthians 10. Actually, it starts in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Now, I have just used that a lot because that's where I have most of my problems. My mind goes 90 miles an hour in the wrong direction, and I've got to grab it and bring it under the captivity of the Lord. And when you start doing that, you are going to see that you will have much more success. And of course, the Lord gives us the option in Ephesians 6:10 that if you feel like it today, you can put on your armor. Or if it's not a good armor day, you don't need to put it on. No, I'm trying to be a wise guy to help you remember that in Ephesians 6:10, that the command is, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now just think of it for a moment here. If you've got somebody that's really driving you nuts and you feel like you're just wrestling with this person, stop and stand back and realize that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. It's the enemy behind that person is having a field day pulling you down. So you need to get on your whole armor, and that's found in Ephesians 6:10 and following. And some people say, well, that's just for men to wear armor. No, we need armor for a bit as bad. Have you ever stood in your home and taken your rock and said, the giant of divorce, you aren't entering my home? Or the giant of depression, it may take me a lifetime, but you're not going to conquer me. Or the giant of alcoholism, or bigotry, or child abuse, or insecurity, just name it. We're all up against all kinds of things. And so I just have to ask you, how long since you loaded your stone? I said, well, I'm not very good at throwing stones. Well, David learned. It took him a long time. The first stone he chucked out there with his slingshot, I'm sure he missed everything. But it takes time, and you get an expert at it. And you learn to take the rock. You take your verses in Scripture, and they're powerful, pulling down strongholds. And that's what you want. You want to get your giant where it belongs. David's your model. Giants, we have to face them. You can't pull the covers up over your head and say, go away. Or get so busy cleaning out closets that you don't have to think about it. or whatever your way of doing handling things usually is. You know, you go back through 1 Samuel 17, there's not once did Saul and his guys ever mention God. It took David in verse 26, and he doesn't discuss Goliath's size. He just looks at him like a lion or a bear. Isn't that neat? All David's thoughts are on his Lord. You can just go right through and see each one that David emphasized. David's concern was God's honor was at stake. He wanted everyone to know his God. You must look at it, David's focus. Say, oh yeah, I know, I'm supposed to look at God and I'm supposed to claim scripture. Well, I'll tell you, what is the last thing you're thinking about when you go to bed at night? Is it Goliath? Yeah, then you're going in the wrong direction. You got to think about God. And the best way to do that is get some verses that you've memorized and start claiming them. You'll go to sleep and you'll sleep like a baby. If not, then it's going to be your focus and it's going to be there bothering you day and night. It'll just keep back coming back to haunt you. It's you know that the battle is the Lord's. Sometimes you just get so stewing, you think, oh boy, why is this happening and why is that happening? And you forgot, oh, the battle belongs to the Lord. It's not up to me to fight it. I don't have any power. David didn't have any power, really, but he had learned how, with God's power, to kill the lion or the bear. That was his resume before he went out there to kill Goliath. Do you know that your battle is the Lord's, or are you stymied like the Israelite army, or are you victorious? You focus on your giant, you'll stumble, but if you focus on God, your giants will stumble, and that's what you want. Well, then David cuts off his head, and what kills me is that when you get to the end of our lesson, it says they have a little ditty that they're singing. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. In reality, how many did he kill?
One.
That's why I asked you in the beginning, and some people had trouble with that. How many were keeping Israelite army at bay? They just simply couldn't move forward. It was one guy. So sometimes, you know, our problems look monumental, but sometimes when you really get down and look at it, it's just one thing that's really driving you crazy. And that's the thing to take to the Lord and have victory. And then everywhere David went, he behaved wisely. What a testimony. It didn't matter whether he was out taking care of his few sheep or whether he was killing Goliath. He behaved wisely. And I hope that's your reputation, that people think of you and they think, oh, she's a wise woman. She behaves wisely. Let's ask the Lord to help us with this. Father, I thank you for this story of David, Lord, so much more so because when we really look at it, we know who killed Goliath. David was willing to get out there, but you directed that stone. You put the power behind it. And we thank you and praise you for that. That this is an example for each of us, Lord, as our giants come into our lives. They always seem to come with no warning. They just come and want to do us in. So help us, Lord, to be like David and to see God in the situation and not the giant. And I pray for each lady here today that might be struggling with that, that you would encourage them to know that you're just a prayer away, that you want to be victorious in their lives, that you don't want us to live defeated lives. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that's really struggling with a giant that's far too big, far too heavy to carry, that they would lay that giant down at your feet, Lord, and find victory today before the day is out. And if anybody's here, Lord, that perhaps hasn't come to accept you as their personal Savior, I pray today that they might, before the sun goes down, that they would tell you, Lord, that yes, I know I'm a sinner. I want to be your child. I want to be that power in the world, in my family, and the people that I know. I want to be like David. Lord, take hold of my life and help me to confess my sins and to be your child, and that you grant salvation. And for the rest of us, Lord, that might be looking at our giants and feeling pretty wimpy, that we would get alone with you and find our power through the Word of God, the rock, and that by next week we would have real victory. Bless each lady, Lord, and help them with their situation, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.